Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome to this week's Culture Rich Conversations, a show produced in collaboration with the Juno Black Awareness Association and K2 Radio here in Juno. I'm your host, Sherry Patterson. Our topic today is the Derek Chauvin verdict. Before we get on with our conversation, I would just like to share that this is not such a jubilant event for me. I have lived a long time. I've seen so much and so much injustice living in Louisiana and coming here to Alaska, where my Alaska Native brothers and sisters are treated just as the slaves were so long ago in their own land. It just breaks my heart. But you know, with this verdict that we're going to discuss in a few minutes, I believe that accountability has been received. And I also feel that it's a vindication for all of the others that were denied such a verdict in their trial. The parents of Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, which the cops haven't been arrested or nothing's been done yet, and so many others. And here we are again with Dante Wright. It saddens me that this continues to happen. But here we are. We received a unanimous verdict. And we're just going to have a discussion of where we are today and where we go from here. We are here to discuss what we're feeling as a Black community here in Juno. And these gentlemen, Michael Patterson and Ivan Bailey, are here to have this discussion with me. When the world stood still a couple of days ago, Ivan, as all of us watched to find out what the verdict would be, when you heard what the verdicts were, what was your reaction?
My reaction at first was a sense of relief. It was relief.
Okay.
It was that we are witnessing justice being served. The judicial system was actually playing out the way in which it should. That this man killed George Floyd while in uniform. He was found guilty on 3 counts by a jury of his peers, and we'll await sentencing. I believe that's about 8 weeks away.
Okay. All right. Michael, what was your reaction once you heard what the verdict were?
Not want to say bittersweet, but I wasn't surprised.
You were not?
No. I know that sounds crazy because it's a rarity that a cop actually gets indicted for killing anyone, let alone a Black man. I figured it had to happen. It had to happen right now. Because of the way things are going, the social uproar over it, it's a bigger deal this time than it has been in the past. I thought it wouldn't have been a slap on the wrist anymore this time. I'll be happier, not happier, but believe that justice is really, truly getting done, and this is not a one-off, when this starts to happen, period. Not that it was such a rarity that we're just like, oh my gosh, they actually did it. It's like, yeah, that's sad. And so that first one out the gate, like, I just figured if there was a time for it to happen, it would have been now, and it was this guy. Because it was just too egregious what he did.
Well, I know I'm the host, and I'll put my 2 cents in. I was not jumping up and down with
glee,
happiness. I actually first was surprised because I thought in some way that they would sway at least one of the jurors to have a second thought or reasonable doubt, and there it would go. I am pleasingly surprised that it went the way it did. It's long overdue. We've seen this happen time after time after time where they get off for one reason or another. For me, it's good to see. I'll just say that. And I'm just feeling some kind of way, and I just can't put my finger on it, you know. As a Black woman, I've seen so much in my lifetime coming from the Deep South. See this as we did in real time. And my thinking was, yeah, we saw it, and we saw it on film, but he still could get off. Because it happened before. And so here we are. Do you think that justice has been served here?
George Floyd has been served. I don't think justice for all black people has been served by this. But I think justice for that man and his family, yes, I do, absolutely. I believe it was served. I think justice will be served if we can use this verdict as a precedent to actually overcome systemic racism. Like, if this can be a jumping off point, then then it'll be served. But if not, then, you know, as my son said a couple days ago to me, it feels like a bunch of selective outrage, and then people just let it die by the wayside. But we are hoping and praying and believing this is some real lasting change, because we know that true change is quiet. It doesn't happen to applause. So, it's just quiet, and it's coming. It takes doing the dirty work behind the scenes, and to keep doing it when the eyes aren't watching you. That's how change gets made, by people changing themselves and doing different things. So I'm just hoping that that's the case here, and believing that it will be, and that it'll be my son's lifetime, or maybe his son's lifetime, they'll actually get it where this isn't an issue. Cops are sentenced for what they do. So,
Ivan, do you think that we can exhale now that we've had a verdict as this?
Absolutely, and I think that we should. We should go ahead and exhale, but know that we have to have this inhalation in order to, after that, to take in a breath, to exhale again. And I think that with this case out in Minneapolis, all of our battles have been won in the courts, either in the court of public opinion or in the judicial system, that we've had to have our battles, and we've had to have laws changed and things put on the books. And I think from this, that this could be the springboard that Michael was mentioning to actually start to see some real changes. Interestingly enough, this isn't the first officer that Minneapolis has convicted. There was Officer Muhammad Noor back in 2019. That was sentenced to 12 years for shooting an unarmed woman. So we have a precedence here. Now, what we do going forward, I mean, that's going to be a whole nother affair. But I think that states are put on notice, not only the states, but the cities are put on notice. As we see that we have Benjamin Crump, he's becoming a regular, it seems, on the evening news, going from city to city to city. And I'm interested when we're going to start talking about, like, qualified immunity for officers.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Yeah.
That's something, right, that's something that is going to be part of this discussion when we're talking about policing, how we start to address that. We already have states that are starting to eliminate qualified immunity. And for folks that might not have a full understanding or even know what qualified immunity is, it's a protection against civil suits for police. And it was established in 1967, right at the height of the civil rights movement. Okay. Coincidentally.
Right. Okay. All right. That's good. And you were talking about a Mr. Benjamin Crump. Would you share with the audience who Mr. Crump is?
Benjamin Crump is an attorney. He's an established attorney. And he deals with civil cases. And so I first became aware of Benjamin Crump, I believe it was during the Michael Brown case.
Okay.
The civil suit that took place in his death. And so Mr. Crump, he's also a member of the NAACP. And he is making the rounds, he and his law firm, and that's just one entity that's actually making the rounds to cities and answering the call from the streets. So he's getting the call and the plea from the streets, and then because he has this background in the law, then taking it to the courthouse where there's actually longstanding changes can actually take place. That's where the meaningful changes take place.
Yes.
Right there in the courthouse.
Yes. Yes. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. And ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We're discussing today the Derek Chauvin verdict. And our guests today are Michael Patterson and Ivan Bailey. And I'm your host, Sherry Patterson. We've been talking about the verdict of a police officer that was convicted a couple of days ago by a juror of his peers. We just would like to continue that conversation and ask our guests both, where does accountability come in all of this? I was thinking about all of this yesterday and I said, well, justice hasn't really been done. And I've been thinking all day today, and maybe in part it has, but I'm thinking more or less that the system, that the jury came back with a verdict of accountability more than justice. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? Does that make any kind of sense whatsoever? Ivan?
It does. It does. I do think that there was accountability with this ruling, with the guilty findings by the jury. And one thing that really sticks out in my mind, Sherry, is that when that video came out, when that 17-year-old Darnella Frazier, when her video came out, the world got to see that.
Yes.
It was no longer just something that was hidden on a back street or that was a policeman's, the blue wall of silence and just regular citizens. The world got to witness this and the world responded. I think that there was no choice but to actually look at this case and to deal with it differently than other cases, fairly, a balance, than other cases have been tried before, especially when it comes to the court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we had protests, we had rallies here in Alaska. But down south, we had more protests with rallies. But here in Juneau, we had two rallies.
Yes,
we had rallies in Sitka, I believe.
Yes,
we had rallies in Kotzebue.
Yes.
We had rallies in Anchorage.
Right.
Then I was able to see that there were rallies in Japan. There are rallies in the UK. There are rallies in Brazil.
Yes.
So this was something all over Europe, in Germany.
Yeah.
In Israel.
Yes.
The world got to see this.
Yes.
And it's something that says that it was a message to us from the rest of the world that this has to stop.
Yes.
This has to stop.
Yeah. Michael, is this more a verdict of justice or accountability, so to speak?
I believe it is accountability. Everybody did see it. Everything feels different this time.
Yeah.
And yes. I think that is evidence that accountability is where we're actually headed. Not 100% there. We got work to do, but where we're headed, because like he was saying about all the rallies everywhere, it's true. I mean, I had a conversation with my son when all of this went on. I was very opposed to having the outrage and all this stuff because it didn't seem like it was much difference. It was going to be selective outrage for a while, and then everybody was going to die down and, you know, and it went back to business as usual. It's different. It felt different. Okay. After a while, I had to look around and be like, yeah, this could actually be some change. It's got people who normally don't want to get involved getting involved. I mean, my wife is who is normally a more quiet person is doing things and joining boards because it means something to her.
Yes. Yes.
And for me, that's enough to know that it is. It should mean something to all of us, but you get scared of wanting to hope and then the rug pulled out from under you. Well, I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think it's going to be not my kid's generation, probably the generation after him. But prior to this, I didn't think it was going to be in any of my kids' generations that this sort of stuff wasn't going to be commonplace.
Yeah.
It means something. It's come a dividing line, unfortunately.
Yes.
But human dignity.
Yes.
I can walk that. I can walk that. If I have to be divided by human dignity, a dividing line that can be. So, yeah, I don't think this is just a verdict of justice. Although I did earlier say I wasn't surprised that it got here, I still feel that there's some real accountability going on. And I don't know if we're going to speak about this later, but the George Floyd, what's it called? The George Floyd Act that Congress is trying to get passed has a lot of things on there that says qualified immunity for banning that outright. And a few other things on there that, like I said, they're really trying to force accountability to cops where there wasn't before.
Right.
And I'm all for it. Keep in mind, I am 100% for the police. I have a problem with some of the tactics that are used against Black people. But cops have a hard job inherently to do. We understand that. But oversight and accountability is good for everybody with that sign of power.
Yes.
So. Yes. Isn't that interesting that when we talk about violence against Black bodies and brown bodies, that people come out and say, well, you're anti-police.
Yeah.
Right. That seems to, that's kind of like that red herring to kind of like try to shut down the argument because it's just like saying, I don't want to have a discussion.
Right.
We don't have these type of discussions for the fire department.
No.
Right. It only comes up when you're anti-police. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case. I mean, if that was the case, why would we have so many people of color that become law enforcement? Right. And then to know that there's something that's been historically askew with how policing is done, especially in communities of colors, why would we have a National Law Enforcement Association? Why would we have a National Black Officer Law Enforcement Association? Where they're talking about dealing with and wanting to confront racism, not only in their communities, but also within their ranks.
Yeah.
These are organizations that have been around for quite some time. And it bears a question, what brought them to have a need to form their own organization inside of an organization?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad that we had to have that caveat, but I have to put that caveat in there, but I felt it very necessary.
When we're talking about supporting of law enforcement, people should also take a look and see what kind of entities are out there that represent law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that the National Black Officers Association would like to get some of those donation dollars too.
Yes.
Right? The same with the Hispanic National Law Enforcement. They would like to get some donations for people that are all about law enforcement.
Yes.
These are the guys that run into trouble when they're called. We can never forget that. We got that. And so, unfortunate that if you're for change, you're against the police. And
right.
That's not the truth in any way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Yes. So. Yes. You know, for me, as both of you have already said, this is just so different. I was off for a week when this happened to Mr. George Floyd. And the day before, I was watching the news, and this young lady in Central Park was on the news calling the cops about a Black man that was trying to attack her. He was a bird watcher. And I'm thinking to myself, and she said, I'm going to call the police and tell them that a Black man is trying to assault me here in this park.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. And that was even on tape. And I thought to myself, she is tripping. And I just went on with my day because we see this all the time.
I like that. That was different. You don't see that all the time.
Well, I'm just saying.
And people got her a camera lion.
The accusations is what I'm referring to. And then the next day, it was George Floyd on the ground.
Mm.
And that was so different. It's as if, to me, and that's how I was feeling back then, a year ago, that the pot had been boiling for 400 years. It had been simmering, I'll say that. And when this happened to this man, it's like it just overflowed. And it's like, we're not going to take this again. We have to say something, we have to do something. And I am doing things now that I would not have done had this not happened. So in a way, I am grateful, not that this man died, like I said, on the ground like a dog, no. But we can take this situation and turn it for good. And actually, this show was born out of that event.
Yeah.
We would have never done anything like this before then. And so not only have we changed and not only have we grown, I told somebody also that I've been shaken awake. I've been silent, I've been visible, but I've been silent about a lot of things, but no more, no more. We can't do that because you can't be silent and expect progress. You have to open up your mouth. You got to speak the truth. And you got to move forward.
I think that if we don't do that, the silver lining to all of this for everybody listening is that there will not be another OJ getting off as a result of actual change coming. Everybody knows that man got off because of, like you said, things were simmering. And so they just let him go when he clearly did something wrong. Hmm. He was a black man. They wanted to let him go. He got to go. I think there's no more of that. It's gonna happen with you if police are held accountable. If they're held accountable, there's that sort of thing that's gonna happen. So I'm sorry, I just watched Audrey made in America recently. And so
there can be police departments around this country, I'm sure, that don't have these issues and that are held accountable to their constituents. Now, what are we doing about the cities? Now it's the next step, right? What are we doing about the cities? Because police departments won't receive their budgets unless it's the city that makes the decisions. Mm-hmm. It's also the citizens in those cities that move these laws forward, that demand for more police. We need more police here. We need more police there. And how the police can be used as a tool by cities and by citizens, not just to protect and serve communities. They can be used as a tool. For example, the Justice Department report that came out during the Obama administration when Eric Holder, Attorney General Eric Holder, came out with that report on Ferguson, how the city of Ferguson was, the council there was saying, well, we can go ahead and we can start issuing out tickets for abandoned cars, overgrown lawns, charging interest on simple citations, and then adding interest on top of that. And then seeing the string of emails that it was just amazing. It was just, it will take your breath away to actually read that report, to see the exchange between assembly members saying, well, do you think we can talk to the police chief to raise the fines that we're levying out for overgrown lawns? Because we did so well this last time. Yeah, we can go ahead and do that. So they were looking to the police creating these directives in order to increase their city coffers. So when you have a city like Minneapolis, first they were hit in 2019 with the $20,000 lawsuit for the settlement for Mohammed Noor. And then now they were just hit with $27 million. So the cities are now faced with this question. Do we continue to have things as they are, or have they have been, or are we going to turn around and have to pay out millions, tens of millions of dollars from taxpayers because of the behavior and the actions of our police force?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is a resounding no.
Right, right. Okay, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to another break and we will be right back. Thank you. And, you know, we are back with today's topic, the Derek Chauvin verdict. And our guests are Ivan Bailey and Michael Patterson. And I am your host, Sherry Patterson. We have been discussing quite a few things here today. And in this last segment, I'd like to ask Michael and Ivan, in that order, what do you think is next? Where do we go from here? Okay. We got a favorable verdict. And like I said, to my surprise, we did. Is it done? Are we over? Do we keep fighting? Do we sit on our hands and say, hallelujah, we finally did it? What next? Michael?
What next? I think what the Congress is trying to do, trying to act by passing this George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, I think that's, as far as a step forward, I think that's a pretty big one if it can actually get passed. I think the fight is far from over. I think this was a solid step in the right direction and a meaningful one.
Yes.
But we're far from celebrating racial equality in policing. Yeah, we should be excited, but keep moving forward. And as far as what to truly do next, it's not something that I don't believe the Black community can do it on their own. Right. It's going to require society to speak up, society to demand certain things of our police force and our Congress. If we can get those things to continue rolling and not allow concessions of what we really are demanding happen, we got some teeth in this.
Okay.
For those who are unaware, the George Floyd Policing and Justice and Policing Act is going to ban chokeholds on the carotid arteries at a federal level. It's going to require that deadly force only be used as a last resort, and they have to try to de-escalate first, which is not the case now. It changes the standard to evaluate whether law enforcement's use of force was justified, whether the force was reasonable, to whether the force was necessary. And that's a pretty big distinction. Reasonable is pretty ambiguous. Necessary is much less. It's going to ban no-knock warrants. Breonna Taylor, yes. No-knock warrant is what got her ultimately killed. It's going to ban those all together, which I think is fantastic. And there's a few more, but that's a solid step. I mean, those things are major. I don't see it harming police or making it harder for them to do their job at all.
Okay.
I think it just raises and levels the sort of service and the sort of respect and the sort of things that all humans, all people in America should get. It helps to raise the level of that for the police department. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
I just came across a meme the other day from James Baldwin. It was a quote from James Baldwin. And it went something along the lines, I'm not sure if I'm getting it right, but it went along the lines of, I don't know what has to happen. Something has to happen. And we need to do it.
Yep.
And I say that all politics is local.
Right? Yep.
So just as much as we're looking at Juneau, or if we're looking at Kotzebue or Sitka or if Minneapolis or L.A., that all politics is local. What people would need is to follow the blueprints, follow the steps, and get with organizations, get with other folks, get more involved. Just the way in which Juneau has, and I'm using Juneau as an example because I was listening to Chief Mercer today. And how open and accessible the police chief has been within the last year or so.
Yes.
Knowing that he's just come into this position as chief.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how they've hosted community town halls, that he's brought his second in command out to come and speak, where he's talking about the training that officers are now doing in terms of de-escalation and working in partnerships.
I'm blown away at how involved Juneau is. That made me want to be more involved by seeing how involved Juneau is, especially considering our very, very small Black population.
Right.
It's not like they can go out in the streets and it happened to their friend or their this. There's not a whole lot of Black people here. So with these rallies, it's always going to be people of different races outside of us. It's going outside of us.
Yes.
And that, for me, it's amazing.
Yes.
It really is. If it can be done here, it can be done anywhere, I feel. And that said, I was surprised, man, because of the lack of racial diversity, so to speak, for us in large numbers. So, yeah.
Going back to Chief Mercer, and also looking at our assembly, I mean, we're in the time of the Zoom now.
Yes.
So now we're able to see and ask questions of our assembly members, how we've actually had workshops on how to get involved in civics. For adults.
Yeah.
So people can decide to get engaged or to actually understand that this concerns them as well. Because the last thing anyone really wants to do is have other people make decisions for them.
Correct.
If you can't describe your own narrative, someone else is going to make it for you.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we will bring our show today to a close. We thank you so much for tuning in to this week's discussion, Derek Chauvin's verdict, and a whole lot more. We had a lot more in there. We thank Ivan Bailey and Michael Patterson for being on our panel for this discussion. And we thank the City of Juneau for your support and for your solidarity and standing with the Black community. As they've said today, there are very few of us, but we are here. We're strong and we're moving forward. And thank you for moving forward with us. We'll see you next week. Thank you.